Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we continue our pivotal study, Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. And last time we were discussing the modern day political movement called Zionism. And remember, the reason why we are giving a detailed study of this political movement of the mid-19th century that culminated in the reestablishment of the Jewish nation of Israel in the 20th century is because God fulfills His word in the process of history, not in some ethereal vacuum separate from our existence and the world we live in. And so He chose the political movement of Zionism to restore His ancient people back to their homeland that He gave to Abraham and them, His descendants, forever. So it's important to know how God has fulfilled His word in regards to the reestablishment of the Jewish nation in the end times. Last time we were with you, we gave you a definition, a biblical definition of Zionism. And Zionism basically is the belief and hope that the Jewish people could reunite and return to their ancient homeland and remain there to live in that land as a nation once again, as they did in days before. Zionism also believes not only in the right of return, Jews going back to their ancient homeland to reestablish a national presence in the Middle East, but also in doing so, that they have the right to defend themselves from anti-Semitic enemies near and far, so that they should never be removed or dispersed again from the land. Zionism, as we told you, derives from the word, the biblical word Zion or Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem and by extension the land and people of Israel. Zionism is a concept found throughout the Bible in both the Old and the New Testaments. Well, let's talk now about how Zionism emerged in the 19th century and how, by the providential power of God, how it led to the establishment, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948. In the latter part of the 19th century, Zionism enjoyed a strong reemergence and took on a more secular and geopolitical outlook for the return of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel with the chief pioneer of modern Zionism, Theodor Herzl. He is considered to be the father of modern secular Zionism. His secular outlook notwithstanding, God moved on Herzl to become one of the major influences to see the Jewish people return to the land. Zionism, if you will, was the impetus God used for the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948, which in our day still stands as the greatest single fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the last 2,000 years since the time of Jesus Christ. Zionism, no doubt, enjoyed a popular resurgence in the latter half of the 19th century due directly to the increasing hatred and hostility explicitly shown toward the Jews throughout Europe. That hatred and hostility has always been an inherent part of European culture, dating back to the days of the Roman Empire. My friend, anti-Semitism is still prevalent in Europe. France is probably one of the most anti-Semitic countries. Several years ago, the news media reported that in 1 year in France, there were over 360 violent acts committed against Jewish persons or acts of vandalism committed against property owned by Jews, such as synagogues and Jewish graveyards. So make no mistake about it, anti-Semitism is still firmly ensconced in European culture. It is firmly entrenched there even today. The greatest concentration of anti-Semitic hostilities against the chosen people was in Eastern Europe and Russia. In fact, hatred for the Jews was so bad in Russia that the Tsar, in 1903, commissioned his secret police to forge a document entitled The Protocols of the Elders in Zion. This forgery allegedly was supposed to be the blueprint and planned conspiracy for Jewish world domination, drawn up and drafted by a group of influential Jews as codified in the 24 protocols. The Tsar was to use this fabrication to justify a bloody pogrom carried out throughout Russia and the Ukraine against the Jews living there from 1903 to 1906. This vile book is still used today by modern anti-Semites to prove that the Jewish people are secretly planning to take over the global market economies, and they are working feverishly and secretly to undermine and subvert world governments for their control. The book is a proven forgery created by the enemies of the Jews to justify their persecution of them. Well, such a tidal wave of anti-Semitism that had and would engulf Europe in the 19th and 20th centuries created a strong and unquenchable desire among many European Jews to return to their ancient homeland of Israel. Oftentimes, God will use persecution. He will allow persecution of His people so that they can be united and brought together to accomplish something of biblical significance. This is a principle you find even in Scripture. God allowed the church in the days of the apostles to be persecuted and scattered so that the good news of Jesus Christ could be dispensed abroad, and eventually within 100 years of the birth of Christianity, Christianity became well known in the Roman Empire. And so too, God allowed this sweeping malaise of anti-Semitism to cover the whole European continent in the latter part of the 19th century to create a burning desire in every Jewish heart that God has inherently placed there to want to yearn and return to their ancient homeland that He gave them. It awoke in them the recognition whether they're conscious of it or not, of the eternal covenant God made with their founding father Abraham to give him a land, a people, and a posterity. The strong tidal wave of anti-Semitism that had and would engulf Europe in the 19th and 20th centuries created a strong and irrepressible desire among many European Jews to return to their ancient homeland of Israel. This prompted an early leader and pioneer of Zionism, Russian Dr. Leon Pinsker, to write a seminal work of modern-day Zionism entitled Auto-Emancipation. He wrote this in 1882. In this book, Pinsker basically proposed that the only solution to protect the Jewish people from ongoing anti-Semitism was for them to have a national homeland of their own. Initially, he thought this Jewish state could be established anywhere in the world. But eventually, Pinsker came to the firm conviction that such a homeland could only be planted where ancient Israel had originally been located. A decade after this, Zionism's political ideas and concepts for a Jewish homeland were formally defined by its leading proponent, Theodor Herzl, in his foundational work, The Jewish State. This book formed the constitutional basis for the first Zionist Congress, convened on August 27, 1897, at Basel, Switzerland. 204 delegates from 17 countries attended the Congress. Herzl worked tirelessly to gain support and backing for a Jewish state, continuously traveling throughout Europe, meeting with the monarchs, statesmen, and politicians to obtain legal acceptance for a Jewish homeland. At the first Zionist Congress, held in August 1903, which, by the way, would be Herzl's last before his death in 1904, Herzl tentatively accepted the British proposal to establish a Jewish state in the country of Uganda, located in East Africa. After much debate and deliberation came the delegates of the Fifth Congress. The Uganda proposal was rejected. So they put this on the floor and to be voted upon. And after vigorous debate and deliberation among the delegates of the Fifth Congress, they rejected this proposal. Again, the providence of God intervenes and moves on the hearts and minds of the Jewish leaders of Zionism to reject an alternate place for Israel, because there is only one place for Israel, and that is in the Middle East, that bridge of land that unites Europe, Africa, and Asia together. Israel has always been strategically located to serve as a crossway, a bridge, where all of these continents could travel back and forth and engage in commerce and trade. Israel was the land bridge that united all of these continents together. And so the Lord again intervenes here and moves on the hearts and minds of these early leaders of Zionism to reject any other place but the ancient place of where the nation of Israel was established 4,000 years ago. Really, when you think about this and the great Zionist leader Theodor Herzl, his vision was really the greater vision of God to restore his people Israel to the land he gave to Abraham, their founding father, and his Jewish descendants after him for an eternal possession in fulfillment of those end-time prophecies foretelling the Jews would be regathered back to Israel as a sign and precondition for the return of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Satan, of course, knows of these prophecies. And within a generation of these pioneers of Zionism, the devil was allowed by the providence of God to try and subvert and prevent the Jewish people from returning their God, from returning to their ancient God-given homeland. But the die had already been cast. In the modern-day movement of Zionism, God was beginning to focus His attention again on the everlasting nation, so that many of the promises of their latter-day restoration to the land in preparation for the Messiah's return would be realized as supernaturally foretold in the Word of God. The prophecy of Isaiah 41:8-12 stands fulfilled in this distinct regard. God says there, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So God is bringing the Jewish people back from the far ends of the earth where they had been scattered for almost 2,000 years. And through the political and historical movement of Zionism, that was the medium, if you will, by which end-time prophecies about Israel's restoration have been and are being fulfilled to this very hour. And that is an exciting sign for Bible-believing Christians. Because as we have said repeatedly in this teaching series, God is showing the church that Christ's return for the church must be incredibly close, because now we are seeing the Jewish people restored to their land. And as we have discussed on prior programs, when God regathers the Jewish people back to their land, then He would shortly return thereafter. World War I and its aftermath was the next significant stage and development for Zionism and the Jewish return to their ancient God-given homeland of Israel. The British had successfully defeated the Ottoman Turks in the Middle East, who ruled Jerusalem and the land of Israel for exactly 400 years, from 1517 to 1917. The British defeated the Ottomans, and this victory was a critical one in this terribly bloody war that eventually brought final victory to the Allies. One prominent leader of the Zionist movement arguably helped turn the tide of World War I in Britain's favor. That person was the brilliant Jewish chemist, Dr. Chaim Weizmann. Dr. Chaim Weizmann. During the midpoint of the war, around 1916, Britain's Navy was dangerously low on gunpowder for their naval artillery, so much so that if supplies were not quickly replenished, they stood in jeopardy of losing the war to the Germans. First Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill, called on the ingenious Weizmann to prodigiously develop some 30,000 tons of acetone to produce a synthetic type of gunpowder extracted from corn maize. Weizmann was able to successfully accomplish this and earn the profound gratitude of the British government, and at that time greatly contributed to England's victory in World War I. To express their sincere thanks, British Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour wrote an official letter from the British government to Lord Lionel Rothschild, a gifted and leading and leading senior member of the Zionist Federation of England. In that letter, Balfour expressed Britain's formal support for a national homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine. Palestine was the British term for what was ancient biblical Israel. This letter became what is famously known today as the Balfour Declaration. The letter, dated November 2, 1917, in part read, "Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national homeland for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Author James Balfour." In this momentous document, beloved, lay the beginning for the eventual reestablishment of the nation of Israel in the modern day. Balfour was able to convince, later on, the War Cabinet to sign off on this official endorsement for a Jewish state, with the help of the British Prime Minister and the largely overlooked, skillful, and persuasive Roman Catholic diplomat Sir Mark Sykes. Balfour's intention here, by the way, was not political or personal, but self-admittedly biblical. Lord Balfour was a Bible-believing Christian, and because of that, he simply believed from a literal and simple reading of Scripture that the God of Israel would, in due time, restore the Jewish people back into the land of Israel before the return of Christ, as foretold in the many prophecies of the Old Testament. The Balfour Declaration was confirmatory of this truth in the affairs of human government, and powerfully illustrates the fact that in the common, mundane, and ordinary affairs of men, God sovereignly chooses a particular point in time and history to fulfill His plan for history through the instrumentality of rulers, authorities, and individuals. Implementation of the Balfour Declaration occurred a year later, in 1918, when the Zionist Commission, headed by Chaim Weizmann, traveled to what was then called Palestine to begin surveying the land for the return of the Jewish immigrants to Israel. Now, let me just digress here and say something at this point. A modern myth about this period of time, usually promoted by Arab propaganda and sadly most of the Western media, is that there were hardly any Jews living in Israel at the beginning of the 20th century. They deny this because they want to make it look like that the Jewish people were foreign invaders and occupiers when they became a nation again in 1948. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because there were already as many as 50,000 Jews living in the land of Israel by 1918, and this population served later as the demographic nucleus for a reborn Jewish state. Indeed, from the time of Christ, there has always been a significant Jewish presence living in the Holy Land after the dispersion in AD 70 occurred. President Woodrow Wilson publicly voiced the American government's full support of the Balfour Declaration on August 31st, 1918. And here, I might add, was the beginning point of the United States' long support for the existence of the Jewish state of Israel. And one of the main reasons why God has so richly blessed our nation to this day. All the more why we, as American Bible-believing Zionist Christians, must always defend the Jewish people's right to exist in their own ancient homeland as the nation of Israel. Well, in these rattling and shaking sounds of an ancient people being called back to their God-given homeland, a very important prophecy of the end times was and is being fulfilled now. A prophecy of the rebirth and regathering of the Jewish people back to Israel by God from the graveyard of nations where He had previously scattered them. This prophecy is none other than the famous dry bones prophecy of Ezekiel 37. A prophecy that, by the way, begins with the noise of rattling and shaking. And we will look at this prophecy the next time in our series on Israel, the super sign of the end times. In fact, there are several prophecies in Ezekiel that predict the current state of affairs in a modern restored nation of Israel. Ezekiel 35 predicts the flawed and failed peace plan that's going on with Israel's enemies right now, which we will look at in a future session on this teaching series. Ezekiel 37, of course, predicts the restoration of the people of Israel back to the land of Israel. Ezekiel 36 gives a detailed prophetic description of the agricultural revival of the land of Israel when the Jews return to that land. And that is an interesting prophecy because in Ezekiel 36, the land is described as barren, lifeless, without fruit or vegetation. And then when God restores the Jewish people at the end of days, the land of Israel then becomes fruitful, affluent, and will become like the Garden of Eden, feeding the whole world. So we will look at those key prophecies in Israel about their restoration, the agricultural revival of the land, and so forth in upcoming programs under this teaching series, Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. Well, once again, my time is escaping me. Please email us or call us and let us know that you are enjoying these programs. We covet your prayers. We covet your response out there in Radio Land. Again, this is a radio ministry of God's Word to His people. And we want to hear from you. And the announcer, of course, will tell you how you can contact us either by phone or email. And don't forget, we have a free bi-monthly newsletter detailing and chronicling our gospel outreaches to Israel and what is going on in Israel today by our Israeli correspondent that we have over there. And also, please think and pray about supporting us. God supports this ministry through the faithful and generous giving of His people, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.